From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris, with a fact of American life that seems to be inescapable. Big houses are everywhere. The average house size has more than doubled since the 1950s. It's now about 2,300 square feet. Whether we're talking about McMansions in wealthy neighborhoods or bigger, less expensive houses beyond the suburbs, the move toward ever larger homes has been accelerating for years. NPR's Margo Adler has been looking into the trend and what it says about our country.
Think of your relatives in the 1950s and 60s who thought it normal for a family to have one bathroom, or for two or even three growing boys to share a bedroom. It's a good bet that most of the people you knew who thought that back then were not poor. Think of well-off people who summered in tiny beach shacks on Cape Cod or off the coast of California, and how many of these little shacks have now been replaced with bigger houses. Think about six-room apartments in cities like New York or Chicago that have been combined because upper-middle-class people now think a six-room apartment is too small. Is it simply more wealth? Is it greed? Or are there more subtle things going on here? In thinking about big houses, I started with the opposite. I'm visiting the home of Tracy Stanton, an environmental policy consultant who lives in Bethesda, Maryland, outside Washington.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Mark. I'm Tracy. Nice to meet you. This is my husband, Carlos.
Stanton and her husband wanted the exact opposite of a big house. They simply wanted to renovate the modest space they already had. They even looked at a book by Sarah Susanka, The Not-So-Big House, to get ideas.
I know what my mother grew up in the coal camps in West Virginia, and they raised 6- and 7-person families in these houses. Kids don't share bedrooms anymore.
Stanton noticed that the push for bigger houses came from realtors, friends, even flyers in the mail, all saying you have to have a master bath, a big jacuzzi. And while Stanton and her husband kept thinking small, with most of the renovations done to increase the sense of air and light, friends kept advising them to make a few things larger, and they did.
We had started off with just a half bath on the second floor, and now it's a full bath. It's almost as big as what our original only full bathroom was.
And they were philosophically committed to thinking small. So what gives? If you want to see a big house, come to the home of Michael Frisbee, a former White House correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, who now runs a public relations firm, Frisbee and Associates. The house in Fulton, Maryland, between Washington and Baltimore, is 11,000 square feet and sits 3 stories high on 3.5 acres. Its amenities include an English garden, a wine cellar, a master bedroom larger than many apartments, a spiral staircase, a music room, a gym, a sauna, a steam room, his business office, and there's more.
And now we're going to go to what people just call the room.
The room.
This would be the
This is the screening room. Oh my.
This is the major entertainment room.
It has a 10-foot wide screen, top of the line projection equipment.
I put in a built-in bar. We decided that we would obviously do more in the room than just watch movies. I could turn that down.
Probably we should turn that down.
And so instead of putting in permanent chairs all over the room, I was a big fan of Friends, and we went out with my son, and we bought Joey chairs.
Huge leather lounge chairs. We'll come back to Michael Frisbee, but big houses are appearing everywhere. New large houses replacing old small ones, newly built houses, often transforming the landscape, replacing farmland and open spaces, and communities are reacting. I'm driving around the east end of Long Island with Deborah Ann Light, a local conservationist who has turned over her own land to a preservation trust. She points to a huge house right by the road.
All of this was fields 10 years ago. You could see all the way over to those hills over there. And then they started to put this up.
Deborah Light takes me to lunch at Bobby Vann's, a classic old restaurant in Bridgehampton. We sit with Barbara Bornstein, a real estate agent, Ann Serchin, an architect, Jackie LaFaro, a member of the Southampton Town Planning Board, and Sandra Ferguson, a local environmentalist. They all live here all year round, and some of them have pretty negative feelings about the big houses that are sprouting up all over the eastern end of Long Island. When one person says, we have to protect our view sheds, and I say, what the heck is a view shed? Sandy Ferguson says,
I feel that my view is being literally stolen from me, and I resent it. I take pleasure in driving down a road and being able to participate in what's pretty. And I have to tell you, a great big brand new house, ugly house in most cases, right near the road, which cuts off my view, I feel something's been taken from me.
What Sandy's saying is totally on the money here, because we feel that we have a sense of entitlement
to this landscape. And the landscape is really vanishing.
Architect Anne Serchin. When asked to speculate why houses are getting bigger and bigger, they throw out dozens of ideas. Barbara Bornstein says land is so expensive, builders have no choice.
He's got to do something that we think of as enormous to bring a profit into the picture.
You know, we're very tenuous. I mean, nobody knows when the next 9/11 will happen. And these houses represent safety. And the bigger the house, the bigger the fortress. It's one part of the world that they can control.
If you have people coming out from the city where they're bombarded by people, I think the tendency is to isolate themselves. Their house is their community. It's not the community's community. It's their community.
Anne Serchin and Jackie LaFaro. In this one conversation, the women blame the economy, 9/11, the stress of big city jobs. You might say, look, this is the Hamptons, but conversations about big houses are happening all over the country in parts of Colorado, Texas, Michigan. And here, despite the stereotype of big money and celebrity, this was once a fishing and farming community. Tractors still turn over soil that is some of the richest in the country. It's called Bridgehampton Loam. The Fosters are one of the last farm families in Sagaponack, a short drive from that Bridgehampton restaurant. When Lee Foster looks at the disappearing farmland and the large houses surrounded by tall shrubbery, she says with some irony,
"What's the fastest growing crop on the eastern end of Long Island? Well, it's privet hedges and then having to cut them."
But let's face it, no matter how good the soil may be, if you can get $7, $8, $10 million an acre with a big house, farms here aren't going to have much of a chance. John Halsey, whose family has lived here for 12 generations, is president of the Peconic Land Trust, an organization that tries to protect open spaces and agricultural land. For Halsey, the big house is all about the American lifestyle, how we live, what we drive, an expression of a lack of connection to finite supplies of land and energy.
Who needs 15,000 square foot houses? I worry about a culture that has this extent of excess in it. I think there's a disconnect. We're in a bubble. We're just not experiencing the realities that the rest of the world is.
But Robert Frank, a professor of management and economics at Cornell University, says the growth of big houses is not really about greed. It's all about context. If you live in a village in Africa, even a modest American house seems huge. But here, there are now millions of people with lots of money, and their wealth shifts the frame of reference for those just below them. So let's say you want to find the best school district for your child, but the houses there are huge and expensive. You might take fewer vacations, endure a much longer commute, save less, but you don't forego the bigger house because it means a better neighborhood and a better education. This is a deeper phenomenon, he says, than keeping up with the Joneses.
This is about what we feel we need as a function of the context in which we live. We know that when everyone stands up, no one gets a better view. I mean, we know there are all sorts of situations where individual choices that are perfectly rational add up to a total outcome that none of us likes very much. And this is one of those.
Whether or not Frank is right, many people here on Long Island understand that there are a lot of contradictions in play here. For example, you may hate big houses, but you may need them. Charles Hitchcock, who taught sociology for 35 years at Southampton College, says 25 years ago there were no jobs here.
If you didn't go to college, you went somewhere else to find work. But now with this newfound wealth from Wall Street and the communications industry, people could stay around and make a good living out here.
Big picture is they're fueling the local economy. They're providing jobs for my family and the people that work for my family. We enjoy doing this very much and doing it on this level, high-end, sophisticated homes.
That's Pat Trunzo III, a local builder whose father started the business some 50 years ago. Trunzo clearly loves his work. He takes out a book of photographs of very large houses by the architect Robert Stern. Trunzo built several of these homes, and he's proud of them. The largest is more than 30,000 square feet. It has 21 bathrooms.
You know, every bedroom has its own private bath. Then near the public rooms downstairs, they'll want powder rooms. One of the crazy things we did is that at some point, it was decided that the kids needed a little flat-screen TV in their bathroom.
In their bathroom?
In their bathroom.
Trunzo says there's a different mindset among the wealthy today compared to when his father started the business.
Most of the big houses were visible from the road. You didn't wall yourself in with hedges and hide. And very much now, they want their own little private enclave. They really don't even want the general public to know that they're there.
For Trunzo, it's just a bit strange, but for John Stilgo, a professor of landscape history at Harvard University, it's emblematic.
The big house represents the atomizing of the American family. Each person not only now has his or her own television, each person has his or her own bathroom. Some of these houses are literally designed with three playrooms for two children. This way, the family members rarely have to interact, and the notion of compromise is simply out one of the very many windows that these houses sport.
But back in Fulton, Maryland, Michael Frisbee says having lots of room is a good thing. Look, he says, my wife grew up in the projects of New Haven. I grew up without much. I always shared my room with my brother.
I always wanted a house big enough where my kids could be in their room screaming, my wife could be in a room screaming, and I could be somewhere else and not hear any of them. And I think I've accomplished that with this house because this house is so big that everybody has their own space.
As to the ideas we've been exploring, Frisbee says, yes, the house does become your community. He says he was always the party guy. Now there's no reason to go out. As to that idea that post 9/11 there's a kind of fortress mentality, Frisbee says yes to that too. He says he used to take his kids to see the New York Giants, not any longer.
We can enjoy life very much without having to go out, without putting ourselves or our kids in danger, frankly.
As to why the big house?
I think everybody has their individual wants, okay?
So yeah. It's sort of about American individualism,
yeah,
that you can
I really believe so.
Can live out your fantasy.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing. That's what my wife is doing. I think that's what other people are doing when you build or buy a house like this. This is my dream. And let's face it, in America, in this day and age, many of us have gotten to the point where we can do this.
When I say some might argue that it's not sustainable for the earth, he's an American optimist. He has confidence that people will find a solution so that his children will have a world even better than the one he lives in today. If Frisbee is in any way typical, you could say that so many Americans are building big houses because right now they can. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.